I didn't feel good about it, but what's done is done, and now I'm lying bleeding on the floor. I put a bullet in his head. There was no hesitation, but you made it easy when you strapped his body to a chair. So say goodbye to everything you ever knew before, and I'd understand if you were running out the door. And I'll keep you safe, and no harm if they even dare. I'll kill, I swear. Murder, murder.
Your Highness, how you doing?
Boot, your hair looks really like a cockatiel right now.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
And know? A little bit 80s. I'm really sorry,
you
but I looked
I'm gonna
up.
Change it.
Did you do I'm something not gay different?
Like that. No.
Did you like?
Shut up.
Did you push
Leave
your
it.
Headphones
no.
and then do
Leave
like
me
a
alone? Phone? I just took my headphones off. Now I'm fixing my hair. Is it better?
Yeah.
Is it better? Okay.
I couldn't look at you like that the whole
I know.
Time. I'm really sorry.
You start talking about that. Hey, welcome to Michigan Murders
Hi.
And Music.
Hi. Welcome.
Yes.
Hi, Hello.
Mary.
Hello, everyone.
Where we discuss murders in our gorgeous state. And then after we get done talking about these murders and all of the details, we
treat leave you with a happy ending and
yeah,
on a good
yeah,
note.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what we do.
Thank you.
He was trying to get around to it.
For letting us seep into your ears.
We very much appreciate you letting us slide down into your canals, your canals, your anal canals, your anals.
Yes, that's where we listen. Yeah.
You listen from the cackles of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You get there
and
through your canals in your ear.
Oh.
Your rear.
So we have new listeners.
We do. I'm going to start.
Okay.
Little Yesh in the Boss.
Ooh, we have Garrett Nessel.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Daniel Margic.
DJ Nevo.
Jen Lee.
Cosmic Sands, Michigan.
Old school, we're going Katie Trollard.
Oh, nice. I would like to give a explicit content.
Wait a minute.
I know.
The third person in this room is wandering around.
I know, she needs to go outside.
Nope, nope. I think she's just going to whip that
okay.
piece of paper in circles again.
Okay. I'm a little
you
concerned
You might hear
about
some paper
that.
In the background. That's just Bianca Bean Delano. It's
so,
fine.
So, here is our explicit content warning. Her Highness will say naughty words, things that are inappropriate for young listeners, and
I had shit in my pocket.
And most youthful people, they just don't appreciate
shit.
Naughty words, and it's very offensive.
Oh
so,
God!
In addition
it's
to that,
offensive.
I have an anecdote. If you catch your army buddy for the fourth time doing something very personal and private, but he answers his door every time you knock on it, wearing sweatpants with a boner that you can't conceal.
Ew. Oh my God.
Yeah,
he's pitching
yeah.
a tent.
Oh yeah. And it's a big one.
Ugh.
Yeah. You can't hide a boner in sweatpants.
You can't.
Mm-mm.
I once saw a man in Meyer. Fuck. We're not gonna be able to recover. We haven't even started.
What about this man in Meyer?
Nothing. That's all I need to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have insurance.
I would like to thank my friend for the fond memories.
Anything like that,
it was
and I'm.
Great.
I hope your friend. Well, he thought you were really needed him. He was there for you, man.
Oh yeah.
He was there for
in more
you.
Ways than one.
Well, we would like to keep our podcast commercial free and independent. So if you guys are feeling a little tipsy or you would like to buy us a coffee, you can head over to our website at michiganmurdersmusic.com and tip us. That would be awesome.
Your Highness.
Your bootness. These boots are made for walking.
Who is the band we are featuring this week?
Apple bottom jeans and the boot with the fur.
Birdie Country.
Birdie Country. Don't be misled by the name.
Yeah.
Folks, this is not country music.
It's not country.
It's not your everyday country. Definitely it's country as in a place.
We're going to Detroit, bitch.
Mm-hmm. We going to the stank of it. We're going to the stank. It's the crotch of Michigan. Come on. Even in its heyday, it was kind of a crotch.
So I'm still a little concerned about these names.
I'm definitely not going to be able to pronounce the first one, but I'm going to try because I'll do better than you.
Okay.
First, will you throw up Miss Michigan?
Yeah, we know.
Okay, oh, yeah, we're going to Detroit. Yeah, right there.
I don't know what's happening to my hand. It's getting all like bony and shit. And big calluses here. And Detroit is
way down there.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Chantrianus. Chantrianus? Chantrianus. Barker. MDOC number 287894. She's currently residing at the Huron Valley Women's Complex, aka Huron Jail.
Mm-hmm. Corey Davis, Department of Corrections number 243871, released to a mental health institution or justice agency 62501.
Okay. This one, I swear to God, I don't know if it's a typo or not, because it was in the court papers like this. Itchard Odin. Not Richard.
Itchard.
Ickard. I could not find him in Odin's. Dude, under that. I found a Richard Odin, but the dates didn't match.
When I was pre-reading this, proofreading,
you thought I fucked up the name.
No, nothing made sense because all these names were, it was like reading a different language. It's okay, like, what the fuck is this?
My first draft was a little rough today.
No, but that's not the point.
And lastly, we have Jason Henderson. Oh,
thank you, God.
Oh my God. For a decent name. So two out of the four names are different. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. Jason Henderson, 344474. He's hanging out at the G. Robert Cotton Correctional Facility. You normally have to pay triple for that kind of action, Cotton.
Hell yeah.
Where is she?
September 1998, Wayne County. DLA records show that.
I knew you were going to say it like that. I read it like that.
Yeah.
DLA Records. It's a store in Detroit. A record store, and it was owned by Antoine. I can't say this name either. Caruther, aka Tony, and Malik Shields. And I think that was I don't know if they were the only owners, but
they're just putting letters together that look like they match.
Oh, stop it. That's a last name. I'm just can't pronounce it. That's all.
So now they have nicknames Tone and Malik.
It's Tony. The E is long. Okay.
Tony and Malik were hanging at the store that evening, running the business.
I kind of feel like that just means hanging out, smoking weed, listening to some music.
Malik received a phone call, and he left for a bit.
Just after midnight, three people came in, masked up with guns, and ordered everyone to hit the floor. Let your bodies hit the floor!
You are an ass.
Yes, I am.
Okay. The burglars.
But wait a minute. Why are they open at midnight? I have so many questions in the story, but you guys can dig and find them.
Well, they had stuff going on out back.
Oh, it was probably like a midnight release.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
The burglars continued to scream, asking, where and which one of you is Tone E?
You're going to say it like that the whole time.
Well, you said it's Tone E. I said it's Tone.
I said it's a long E.
Spelled T-O-N-E.
When it was pinpointed who Tony was, he was grabbed by the men, a gun was put to his head, and he was taken away from the store.
Kidnapped?
They adult-napped him. He wasn't, he's not a kid, he's a goddamn, he adult-napped him.
In desperation, Tone E told men that there was $18,000 in the ceiling.
I'd run 18,000. Dude, if they told me there was 18 grand back in the ceiling and I was kidnapping them, getting ready to throw them in the van, I'd go back in there and snag that 18 grand.
No, once I got them in the van, I'd take that sweet ass down by the river and take
none of the men wanted to go back in to find out, which is odd, because the reason that they even chose DLA records was rumors of money. There supposedly was drug money, lots of drug money. And that's what these boys wanted, right? They wanted money.
Who better to hit?
So
apparently, but
instead of going back for the drug money, they're just going to take them.
Yes. It makes no sense.
Geniuses. Genii.
The adult nappers took Tone E to
sounds like a diaper.
Chantrani's Barker's house.
We're going to call her Shan. Chan. Shan. Okay. Shan.
Back to the east side of Detroit.
Court records state that Sean yelled at the men, telling them that they took the wrong person. They weren't going to get money for this guy.
I can't.
I know. It's insane.
Oh.
She still consented to putting Tony in her basement, handcuffed, knowing damn well what was going to happen.
It did not say that she was part of the plan the whole time. I'm pretty sure she was, but she knew who had the money on the street, apparently, and Tone E. did not.
Handcuffed and at the beginning of his horrible evening, Tony was taken to her basement where a night from hell would begin.
The three men started torturing and beating Tone E in pretty cringeworthy ways to get phone numbers out of him and to find out where more money was.
As the beatings were happening, they were contacting the people at the numbers that Tony gave them. They would call the number and have Tony beg for ransom money when they answered. Ugh, that would be horrible to be on the other end of that line.
Well, and we'll find out what happened pretty soon here. Around 1 in the morning, he reached his girlfriend, Venus. It's a planet. His girlfriend is a planet? Okay, at this point, he had been putting up with the beating for about an hour.
He quietly begged for her help. Then the phone went dead. I would be fucking mortified if I just heard you being like, honey, help. They took me. They beat me up. They're beating me up.
Yeah. Moments later, Venus's phone would ring again.
This time, the call was a voice from a stranger demanding $100,000 if she ever wanted to see Tony alive again. Venus, that's not funny. Boot was doing the Austin Powers thing. Yeah,
$100,000.
That's why I giggled.
It gets more entertaining when it gets talked down to 10. But so Venus was able to keep them on the phone for a few minutes. She could hear Tone E.
I hate you for saying it like that every way, every time. Stop it.
Okay.
Tony.
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 Just put a Y.
Is it that fucking hard? I'm not the one who spelled his name like that. Where's the clicker? You're being naughty.
Okay. Venus was able to keep them on the phone for a few minutes. She could hear Tony being hurt. She begged for his life, told them they don't have that kind of money. She actually talked them down from $100,000 to $10,000.
How?
And that's what she could come up with.
When the second horrifying torture call ended, Venus immediately called the cops and explained what had happened.
Back in the east side home, Char pulled one of the men aside and said, you know, y'all can't kill him here. You're going to have to do it elsewhere.
You're going to have to take him out of here and kill him. And at one point, Shan said the men were using hot quarters and cigarettes to burn him.
You know, that's just disgusting.
Who
does that?
This, I swear to God, all of this is straight out of a fucking movie.
It's horrible.
It's out of every movie. We have never covered a story.
It's just disgusting.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. It's insane. Why they're like torturing this guy in the basement. He's handcuffed and they're literally burning him and stuff. They continue to call Venus, escalating the torture physically for Tony and definitely mentally for Venus and Tony's family.
Even after the police arrived at her place, the calls and the beatings continued while the cops stalled and tried to figure out how to deal with the drop and catch situation with the guys.
That kind of pisses me off just a little bit.
A little bit.
you know that your boyfriend is literally getting Sons of Anarchy beat up, and you guys are just, oh, we got to buy some time. He'll be fine. It's fine. We need to figure this out. No.
Right.
Move now, motherfuckers.
So now Tony's mom gets involved, who owned several small businesses and helped Venus get the money together while the cops figured out their exchange plan.
Finally, after 6 motherfucking hours
That's a long
phone
time.
Calls, knowing her boyfriend was being beaten and tortured, the cops finally came up with a plan. I don't know why on earth it took so long, you guys, but it did.
Yep.
I don't know if it was fully the cops or if the adult nappers were part of this situation, but...
So now morning's coming around.
6 fucking hours, she knows that he's being tortured.
The adult nappers agreed to meet Venus at 8 a.m. at Church's Fried Chicken on the west side of Detroit for the money.
Church's Fried Chicken.
It's the
best fried chicken in Detroit.
They said they would drop Tony off also a few miles away at an intersection.
I feel like that's not how drops go.
Well,
I hand you this, you hand me him. Mm. It's an exchange.
Yeah.
It's like
we do with
you
prisoners of war.
Take the pipe, I hand you the lighter. It goes like that. You don't drop them off a few miles. That doesn't sound like a good plan to me at all. This is not a good plan. No, sir.
So
I don't like it.
Put all kinds of undercover dudes in the area for protection and to catch these guys.
They also had enough time where they could record the serial numbers of the money that they came up with. So if something went wrong, which, as we know, commonly does with the cops. Oh, did I just say that right out loud?
Then
they had serial numbers for tracking porpoises.
This is great, Your Highness.
What?
One of the cops thought quickly on his feet and went into the kitchen place, this whatever that chicken place is, and showed his badge and just started sweeping the floor like he worked there. He had the best view of the entire situation.
Those people had a story to tell forever. Cop came in and flipped his badge open and grabbed a broom and just was like, shut your face. I need to be
Shit's
here.
Shit's
going down. Shut up. And he just started sweeping the floor like you do when you're being nosy watching our neighbors. Just start sweeping the front porch for no reason.
Yeah. Well, you know, the front porch needs to be swept.
He had the best damn view of that transaction, though.
Mm.
When the time came, Venus did not even get out of her car. She just rolled down her window and she dropped / threw the bag with the money in it and she drove away.
When Venus got home, probably freaked out, most likely.
Oh, my God.
She got another ransom call saying, why are you playing with me? You must want this enter dead. N-word.
First off, you just dropped money off. You're freaking the fuck out. And then... she gets home and they're, bitch, you didn't drop the money off. Why didn't you drop the money off? She's like, I did just drop the money off. This is where it is.
Well, she's dealing with incompetent people and they weren't watching, weren't paying attention. They're probably playing on their phones and they didn't see her drop off the money.
The bag had fallen behind a concrete thingy boot. That's why they didn't. They're men. She probably said it's 1 inch. To the left of the concrete, and they were like, we don't see it. Where is it?
Yeah, don't look for it.
Oh, my God. Don't turn just a little bit. Move your eyes around. So the bag had fallen behind the concrete thingy, and they couldn't see it. So she, when they called the second time, she was like, dudes, this is where I put it. They went back a second time because, you know, they're smart.
Of course they are.
They didn't think about the fact that there might be police involved in this at this point.
No.
And so the undercover police saw the two men approaching the drop money again. They found it this time, and then they successfully arrested him. I want to think it was the cop in the chicken shack that just, like, hopped out with his broom and was like, gotcha! I'm not a chicken shack
worker.
Dude,
that's fantastic.
I'm a cop.
That he did that.
Handcuffed. Nabbed, bitch.
The car they drove was searched thoroughly. Sadly, only blood was found in the trunk of the car. Tony was not there. Hopefully, he was actually let off at the drop point. They were not giving up hope yet.
We are going to back up in the story to around 4 a.m. While they were still working on a deal with Venus over the phone, the men were torturing Tony with bleach over his head in the basement, over his open wounds. Then they put Tony in the trunk of the car, severely beaten and most likely unconscious. I don't know that for sure. That's just my opinion.
The men drove him to an abandoned area of factories, which could be darn near anywhere in the Detroit area. Oh, my God. We've driven through there.
There's so many factories.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Detroit. We built that city on rock and roll factories.
Yeah.
So they drove him to abandoned factories, and they basically executed Tony, shooting him 3 times in the head. Ugh.
Did he survive?
The drop doesn't actually happen for 3 more hours. So Venus and the cops and everybody are still under the assumption that he was alive this whole time. But he wasn't.
The men who were arrested at the drop talked.
What?
What?
For real?
Yappity yappity.
It didn't take long to find out 4 people involved within the situation.
In fact, it was one of the men, Jason Henderson, who filled in the blanks in the story. He flipped quickly on his pals for a shorter jail sentence.
He told the police all about Tony's final moments and would also lead them to Tony's body.
I mean, it's a great thing for the family and to have closure, but what a horrible thing to go through. The police recovered Anton Tony Carruthers' body at 7:45 a.m. that September morning.
It's horrible.
His body showed the signs of the torture that he had endured all night by his assailants, including a tooth that had been pulled and proof that a blunt object had been used to humiliate him.
Oh, my God. Your Highness?
I know.
This is horrible.
That's the only way I can put it and still be respectful of the victim. The 4 were arrested and would be charged at a later date.
Remember Malik?
I do. Guy who got the phone call and just happened to disappear right before.
Yeah. The other owner, he left the record store right before Tony was nabbed. He came back, heard what had happened, and did nothing. Nada.
He didn't call the cops. He didn't call Tony's family. He didn't call Tony's girlfriend.
He just quickly shut down the store and went home like nothing happened.
That's shady as fuck, motherfucker. That is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he was unable to go to his friend's funeral.
Tony's?
Yeah. He couldn't go to Tony's funeral as he was under suspicion from the police. He was never charged with anything, though. And I still think something.
You know, you keep your mouth shut and pretend you know nothing.
In that situation. Mm-hmm. Someone gave him a little heads up, I kind of feel like.
Oh, here we go. In a crazy karma turn of events, Malik soon later be shot down while driving his Range Rover on the expressway. It was a drive-by shooting, and he was killed.
While Malik could have saved Tony from some torture, he chose not to, and in the end, he got what was coming to him.
That's how it works.
Dude, I get both sides keeping your mouth shut, but I'm not one of those, I'm not a keep your mouth shut kind of person.
Do I have to really say?
I think you guys might know that.
Do I have to say Itchard?
You do.
Okay.
Absolutely. Corey
Itchard. And
Shantianese.
We're all convicted of murder.
Shantianese.
With life sentences. None of them reside in the same jail, although all of them are jailed in our beautiful state.
Left behind was Venus and Tony's family. The couple had 1 child together, a little boy. And Tony had 2 more boys from a previous relationship. I'm sure it was a great loss to the entire family.
It's horrible. Chan went to prison, leaving her 14-year-old son, D'Angelo, to be cared for by his father and others. What do you mean, others?
You know, family members.
Uncles.
I don't know. Oh. It just said others, and I just went with it. Okay. I can't leave you with that because, boo, there is more to the story. When C went to jail in 1998, she was pregnant. Yes, sirree. She was pregos.
With a baby.
With child. Bun in the oven.
Baby.
She went into labor at the jail and was taken to the hospital, but returned to the jail 2 hours later. Boo. You might not know. It's kind of common. Women, they think they're going into labor. They get to the hospital. Hospital's like, girl, you've got hours yet. Go home. Come back later.
Dude, when I have to go poop really bad, it starts poking out.
Every woman is cringing at you right now because no, it's not the same.
Oh.
Anyway, so she gets back, and when her labor pain intensified, and despite like her co-jail people.
So it's called a false labor.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Oh.
Sometimes it is a false labor, but when her labor pain intensified, guards didn't react in a timely manner. And
manner.
Yeah, that too. You can say the next one.
At the same age her son was when she was arrested, 14 years old, Chelsea Barker's life had been lived severely impaired. She had been lacking oxygen when Chan gave birth to her, causing brain damage.
Yes, because they didn't take her back to the hospital in time.
That's horrible.
It's awful. Wayne County agreed to an $8 million settlement in favor of Chelsea. In all actuality, her mom went to court for her, I believe. But the county was accused of violating the girl's civil rights under Roe versus Wade.
Roe v. Wade.
The officers had sufficient warning to get her out of the jail and did not get her the care prior, during, or after birth.
Chelsea needs 24/7 care. The money will go toward her needs. She has been raised by her guardians and since has survived quite nicely. Your Highness.
What?
I love you.
An asshole. So that's our story. That was a weird ending. Sorry, everyone. I just kind of...
just petered out?
Just... limp-dicked it out of there.
Well, here we are. Do we have a happy ending?
We do have a happy ending.
Oh, my God.
And
we need one really bad.
Who are we featuring tonight?
We're featuring a band called Birdie Country.
Birdie Country. I'm so excited, you guys. They are going to be playing shows soon. Birdie Country is Matthew Clark on vocals and guitar, Taylor Robita backing vocals and guitar, Sam Bonnet, lead guitar, Trevor McGarry, bass and backing vocals, Jacob Gagne on drums. They actually have upcoming shows this December 2022 on December 3rd, Your Highness's birthday. They're going to be in Flint. And on December 9th, they're going to be in Grand Rapids at the Pyramid Scheme. And again, it's 2022. Go to their website. You can buy their music on Bandcamp.com. Go to bandcamp.com, type in Birdie Country, offer a couple of bucks. I paid them $5 for the song because I happen to believe they deserve it. This is Birdie Country with their song Makeup.
Driving in for Benz and some old socks.
thank you for choosing Michigan Murders and Music. Please rate the show wherever you listen. Michigan Murders and Music is produced by The Boots. Episodes are researched and written by Your Highness. Edited by Your Highness. Views and opinions are the sole stupidity of us and us alone. Don't blame others, please. Listening to this podcast could quite possibly cause major problems to your earballs and definitely will mess up your kids. Permission has been given to us by the bands, and we purchase our music on Bandcamp.com. Support your local music scene and all local music scenes.